Lesson 22. Acts chapter 22, viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 22 is not a simple speech of excuse to defend himself. This chapter is a solemn court statement, testifying within a soteriological structure why Paul, who was at the very peak of the law and Jewish tradition, had no choice but to preach this gospel. Through the event of his conversion, he clearly shows how God's completed plan of salvation, not human zeal, captivated one life. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Paul's starting point. About the confession of the past that was perfect within the zeal of the law. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul first begins his speech toward the multitude in the Hebrew language, saying, Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. He says that he is a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, grew up in this city, received the strict teaching of the law of our ancestors under Gamaliel, and is a person zealous toward God, like all of you today. He also reveals that he persecuted this way, even to killing people, and bound both men and women, and handed them over to prison. This is a declaration that he did not accept the gospel because he was ignorant, but that he is a person who stayed more deeply than anyone else within the system of the law, but realized its limit, and collapsed before the completion of the gospel. Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 11. The Damascus Incident. About the collapse of religious vision and the calling that came as light. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. When coming near Damascus, suddenly a great light from heaven shines around Paul, and a voice is heard saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When Paul asks, Who are you, Lord? The Lord answers, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. This event was not a moral rebuke, but a demand for a wholesale revision of the structure of salvation. Because Paul could not see, due to the glory of that light, he is led by the hand of the people who were with him, and enters Damascus. This was God's symbolic measure to completely block the religious eyesight of man, who used to see the world through the law, and to make him see the world only through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16. Ananias's exhortation. About the confirmation of the elimination of sin and baptism based on the event. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. And he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God sends a devout man, Ananias, and makes him say to Paul, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth. Following this, he exhorts, And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Here, the word to wash away sins does not mean that Paul's act becomes the subject, but means to accept by faith the fact that Jesus already took charge of the sins of the world by the baptism he received from John at the Jordan River and ended the judgment of sin on the cross. Baptism is, like this, a holy confession that publicly acknowledges the already completed elimination of sin. Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. The temple vision, about the termination of the nation-centered salvation structure and the commencement of Gentile missions. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. When Paul returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, he sees the Lord speaking to him in a trance, saying, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Although Paul tries to stay in Jerusalem citing his past history of persecution, the Lord commands, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. This is a scene declaring that the closed salvation structure bound only to the temple, the law, and the Jewish nation has been terminated, and the gospel of the water and the Spirit advances as a universal gospel toward all humanity. Acts chapter 22, verse 22. The anger of the audience. About the faith of the Jews standing before the gospel that denies human righteousness. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. The Jews, who were listening to Paul's speech, explode at the passage of sending to the Gentiles and shout, saying, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. The reason they were so angry was not simply because of the Gentile mission, but because their own religious system, which tried to establish righteousness by keeping the law, completely collapsed before the gospel. Because the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not allow human boasting even a little, it becomes the most unbearable news to those who hold on to their own righteousness. Acts chapter 22, verses 23 through 29. Roman citizenship. About the legitimacy of the gospel testified within the public order. Then, as they cried out, and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. When the commander tries to bring Paul into the barracks and examine him under scourging, Paul asks, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" The commander and the soldiers, having learned that Paul is a Roman citizen, become afraid and loose his bonds. That Paul used his citizenship was not to protect his personal safety, but to reveal that the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not an illegal movement subverting the social order. The gospel only subverts condemnation and the authority of sin. It is a truth that must be confidently testified within the legitimate legal order of the world. Acts chapter 22, verse 30. The expansion of the stage of testimony. The history of salvation moved before the council. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. The next day, the commander, wanting to know the truth of why the Jews accuse him, releases Paul from his bonds, gathers the priests and the whole council, brings Paul down, and sets him before them. Paul now comes to stand in the center of the official Jewish religious court, not before a personal mob. This is a process where the stage of testimony of the gospel gradually widens, and it shows that the gospel of the water and the Spirit must be proclaimed without ever shrinking before any power. In conclusion, Acts chapter 22 testifies that Paul's change was not a simple moral repentance, but an event where the salvation structure itself was completely transitioned from the law to the gospel. The zeal of the law can never end sin, and only the one who acknowledges the baptism and the cross of Jesus by faith can reach the true elimination of sin. Acts chapter 22 is a great court record of faith, showing how the gospel of the water and the Spirit reconstructs the identity of a person, and how it makes him a witness who does not fear even death. A sermon by Paul C. Jong. The word from Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 30, outwardly looks like a self-defense Paul performed to protect himself, but in reality, it is a powerful sermon publicly proclaiming what the essence of the gospel is. Reading this word from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, Paul's testimony becomes a declaration of salvation that clearly reveals how the sin of humanity ended, and to whom the news of that salvation reaches, not a simple story of a personal, mystical experience. Paul opened his mouth in the Hebrew language before the mob trying to kill him, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear the words of excuse I make before you now." And this well shows the attitude of a minister building a bridge of understanding to open the door of the gospel even to adversaries. He confessed that he was a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, grew up in this city, received the strict teaching of the law of the ancestors under Gamaliel, and was a person zealous toward God, like all of you today. Such a confession was not self-rationalization, but an intention to clarify the fact that human religious zeal and God's salvation are completely different. Paul recalled the past when he persecuted this way, even to killing people, and bound both men and women, and handed them over to prison, and testified to the event that happened on the way to Damascus. When he came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around him. But what fundamentally changed Paul was the Lord's question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" rather than the visual light. When Paul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And the core here is the identity between the salvation ministry of Jesus Christ and the church, which is his body. Paul was convinced that he himself kept the law well, but came to realize that he was actually opposing the salvation ministry God accomplished, and showed that true conversion is not a simple overturn of emotions, but completely transitioning the direction of life before the gospel. Paul, who could not see due to the glory of the light, was led by the hands of the people who were with him, entered Damascus, and spent a blind time for 3 days. This time was not a punishment, but a place of grace, preparing Paul to close the eyes with which he saw the world by his own knowledge and righteousness, and to be able to look solely at the salvation God accomplished. At this time, a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to Paul and proclaimed that the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth. This is a passage showing that salvation does not remain as an individual's subjective revelation, but is necessarily completed through a deliverer of the gospel. Ananias exhorted Paul, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And the essence of this word touches the content of the gospel that Paul will testify to all his life. The reality of the washing away of sin is not in a ceremony performed by man, but is in the gospel of the water, where Jesus took charge of all the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John at the Jordan River, and the gospel of the blood, where he received the judgment of those sins on the cross. The exhortation to be baptized was an urging to accept by faith and publicly confess the ministry of the elimination of sin, already accomplished by water and blood. And the Holy Spirit confirms this truth of completed salvation in the hearts of those who believe. Paul's testimony caused a great uproar when it reached the confession that when he was praying in the Jerusalem temple, "The Lord said to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me,' and said he would send me far to the Gentiles." The reason the Jews were angry was because they could not accept the fact that God's grace flows universally beyond their boundaries. However, because the gospel of the water and the Spirit declares that the sins of all people were resolved in solely one way, it tears down the privileged consciousness of man and opens the way of salvation without discrimination to anyone. Due to the disturbance of the crowd, when the commander brought Paul into the barracks and was about to examine him under scourging, Paul revealed his citizenship to the centurion standing by, saying, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" The commander became afraid, loosed Paul's bonds, and the next day, wanting to know why the Jews accuse him, gathered the priests and the whole council, brought Paul down, and set him before them. That Paul used his citizenship was not to avoid tribulation, but a wise choice to protect the dignity of the gospel and proclaim the truth more boldly, and it proved that a saint who has already been justified can stand confidently without being servile even before worldly powers. In conclusion, Acts chapter 22 asks us today whether we are boasting only of subjective experiences or testifying to the reality of the already completed gospel. The one who possesses this gospel, that Jesus Christ took charge of the sins of the world by the baptism he received from John at the Jordan River, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and the Holy Spirit confirms this, obtains the courage to speak the truth even before adversaries. To live as the Lord's witness, standing firmly upon the gospel of the water and the Spirit, even amidst misunderstanding and persecution. That is exactly the way of a true disciple that Acts chapter 22 presents to us. Questions and answers from Acts chapter 22. Question 1. If we explain the word of the entire chapter of Acts 22 from the perspective of believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 22 is a scene where Paul testifies about his conversion event before the Jerusalem crowd, and looking at it from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it starkly shows the fundamental change that occurs when religious zeal meets the righteousness of God. Paul first confesses how strict he was toward the law, and that he was a zealous religious person who tried to eradicate those who believe in Jesus. This symbolizes the fatal misunderstanding that a human can fall into when trying to please God with his own acts and righteousness before realizing the gospel of the water and the Spirit. That is, through Paul's past, it is warning of the fact that zeal that does not know the perfect atonement accomplished by the baptism and blood of Jesus rather produces the result of opposing the will of God. The experience on the road to Damascus, which is the turning point of the event, means that the blind state of man is revealed when the light of the Holy Spirit shines. That Paul fell down in the light and became blind is a symbolic event, realizing that the arrogant ego full of his own righteousness dies, and he is a being who can live only by the righteousness given by the Lord. In particular, among the messages Ananias delivered to Paul, the exhortation, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts chapter 22, verse 16, is very important. This is because it is a powerful request to accept by faith and proclaim the gospel of the water, that Jesus took over all the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John, and the efficacy of the washing away of sins, given as its result, going beyond a simple ceremony of sprinkling water. The core that Paul intended to deliver to the Jews through this testimony is that salvation is not in the tradition of the ancestors or human observance of the law, but in the righteousness of the baptism and blood that God has opened even to the Gentiles. That the Jews became angry and tried to lift stones as soon as Paul mentioned the mission to the Gentiles shows that they still could not give up their privilege and the righteousness of Acts. Because the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not mix human goodness, even a little, and makes one believe only the fact that Jesus accomplished, it becomes a stumbling stone to religious people who hold on to their own righteousness. But it becomes the only way of life to those who realize their sins and long for a Savior. Ultimately, Acts chapter 22 throws the same question to us today. Before asking, "What shall I do?" like Paul, it makes us confirm whether we first believe the already accomplished fact that the Lord already took away all my sins and washed them away by the baptism and the cross. The secret by which Paul could endure the subsequent tribulations with joy for the sake of this gospel was because the gospel of the washing away of sins proclaimed by Ananias was confirmed in his heart through the Holy Spirit.